The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what to do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Joshua Adam Ray Marathon with Mo and Joel, and John Oliver last night on his show brought up in his block where he has very serious segments. He's talked about the president, he's talked about the problem with March Madness, and last night he talked about something very serious, which was something that we've been talking about sporadically on here for years on One Fall We Talk Wrestling, was the independent contractor and what that means in the world of professional wrestling and how wrong it is and an off season and everything. So, and again, I'm Joshua Arbuthnot with Mo and Joel. And Mo, you have been a proponent of this, of talking about this for a long time with us. So I'm going to lead off with your thoughts on this entire thing.
You know, it wasn't perfect peace, obviously. You know, I think some of it, I think it probably has more impact for people who aren't familiar with WWE. So for me, when I'm seeing, you know, the Roddy Piper clips, for instance, is, you know, I mean, Roddy was in a bad place there. He was, you know, complaining. The Bret Hart thing is from Wrestling with Shadows. You know, it's been a lot of years since that was out there. A lot of things have changed in his life and his relationship with WWE and everything. So, I mean, it's not a perfect piece. There's certainly things that I think a hardcore wrestling fan goes, it feels like you're manipulating the situation a little bit. That said, the core of what was said on this needed to be said, has needed to be said for a long time, and was absolutely correct. The independent contractor thing has been a BS, you know, forever. And it's time that the public is aware of it, because the WWE continues to, just like they did in Saudi Arabia, where, I mean, John Oliver's pieces on that, which weren't as long, obviously, but didn't have as much impact as I think a lot of people hope. WWE continues to skate under the radar so they get away with stuff that nobody else gets away with, because they're just wrestling and they're mainstream, but not mainstream. So this was a really a good piece, an important piece. I hope it has some actual effect.
Well, my thinking on all of this is, this is almost feels like, in some ways, this is heading towards the perfect storm, because you look at it and you go, this piece comes out, AEW exists and continues to show positive things that they're doing for the community of wrestling, and just continues to feel like a very positive and safe space to be a wrestling fan, and they just continue to make strides to being that full-fledged company that I think all of us believe that they can be. And, I mean, there's been talent within the WWE that aren't small talent. An example is Roman talking about wanting an off-season. And, you know, he could have just said that just for the sake of saying it. But I like to think saying something like that means, you know, there are guys in that locker room that are thinking about it. And there's people that saw that Oliver piece and saw what he said about the independent contractors and like, no, I absolutely agree with you. This is crap. We need to make a change. I just feel like we're heading towards something where there will be a change. There has to be a change. Or because if there's no change, then I just can't see how WWE is going to keep moving forward, because this independent contractor and this putting Vince being put above everything else and being able to continuously get away with everything will eventually come back and bite him in the ass. And to me, if it bites him in the ass, that bites all WWE in the ass. It's better to rectify and fix things and take steps to fix things to preserve WWE rather than try to keep skirting things and trying to be like, oh, I'm gonna keep getting away with this, pal.
Yeah, I think a big part of this is I don't think Vince and WWE will ever do it, because their response was, well, we'll invite John Oliver there and everything will look hunky-dory on our side, and that's what we're gonna do by having Oliver come to our show. I think the key will be is to keep a monitor on AEW during the Chris Jericho podcast with Tony Khan. Tony Khan said that's something that he would like to get to. He said it's a complicated issue, obviously, but if anyone does know how to do it, it is Tony Khan dealing with Fulham football and with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Both situations have their players under health insurance and all that. So he is familiar with having athletes under that bar, and it's going to be very hard if AEW is to have all these things for their athletes and that the WWE, being the biggest wrestling company in the world, isn't. I think that's something, you know, that when AEWs came along was one of the first things we talked about is, will they be able to give the full healthcare benefits an off season? I mean, I talked to Joel about this today, and this wasn't even on the Oliver pieces. I remember when Ryback got fired, as much of an idiot as Ryan Reeves is, he did bring up the point too of the healthcare and the independent contractor and not getting their hotels paid for and having to find their own wages places with cars and everything like that, and the aches and the pains that go. And, you know, we have seen these deaths. I mean, this year we've already seen King Kong Bundy go at 61. We saw Vader go way too early. And yeah,
Neidhart.
Yeah. Thank you. Neidhart's another one.
That was one I couldn't believe that wasn't brought up on the show, actually. And
that was recent too. And we're seeing this situation more and more and more, and it's bullshit, and you're sick of seeing it from that profession. And, you know, I thought the thing that he nailed on the head is, like, when you look as bad, worse than the NFL, who has probably someone that's more naive than Vince is in Roger Goodell. Vince is just ignorant to the situation. Goodell's just an idiot and refuses to buy into half the shit.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I don't know if Vince is ignorant. I think Vince has a full idea on what he's doing. It's about making money. That's what Vince cares about. He's a guy that wants to be a billionaire. And so if it means cutting corners in any way possible, then they will. And we've seen that they have some ruthless lawyers around their company, and they will.
Yeah, look at Raven. Raven tried to sue them with that big lawsuit for the concussions, and anytime anyone comes after them, they lose. That's why they wanted to get the title off of who's that tag team that had the longest title run?
Demolition. Yeah.
Yeah, they sued him, and now you're never going to see Barry Darso or anyone from Demolition in the company for a long time because of that lawsuit. That's why Demolition was taken out of a video game, was because they sued them for concussions and for health benefits.
Well, and it's happened many times. I mean, it started off with years ago. I mean, you know, it's so many people have sued them over the years, and yeah, the strategy is just they have better lawyers. And they have more money, and they will outlast you. And you know, and they also always manage to get the things litigated in Massachusetts, where they have a huge advantage. And this is some of the many things that's wrong with it. You know, one of the things about the piece that Oliver did that was most interesting was when he said Vince McMahon, on-screen asshole and real life asshole. And then they hurt themselves though, because that clip they showed with him and that reporter, I don't know who that was.
I don't know who that was either. I remember the one before. With Costas.
Yeah, the Costas one I remember. This one was in some ways worse. Yeah. But the thing about it is, and he does come across very bad, and certainly he comes across bad in how his reaction to the guy, you know, hitting the papers, but also just in saying, no, he doesn't feel any guilt. He certainly wouldn't say that now. He'd be more aware now. This is not something he would say now in a similar situation, nor would he attack the person. That was a point in time where he was blurring the lines himself between the Vince McMahon, evil Vince McMahon character, Mr. McMahon, and the real-life guy. And so when you show these type of things, like I said,
he had it with the XFL, too.
Yeah, maybe it does come across bad, and maybe it does impact non-wrestling fans. But for me, I that's one of the moments where I went, you know, I would have preferred you stick to things that are, I don't know, feel more
genuine,
relevant to this, genuine to the situation, yeah, or relevant to the day.
Yeah, what do you guys think about if AEW and Tony Khan are able to give them full time employment, health benefits, off seasons? Do you think AEW is doing that?
Yeah. I'm going to jump in here just because UFC started to give insurance to their performers. Remember, I think it was about 3 years ago. And when that happened, myself and a lot of other people were immediately went, oh, this is going to force the WWE's hand, and it didn't do anything. Great. So we'll see. It depends on, it can't just be that AEW does it. It has to be that AEW is big enough. Mm-hmm. And I think they will be. But if they're not big, for instance, if ROH did it or TNA did it, it wouldn't affect WWE at all. Mm-hmm. They have to be big enough that it actually is an issue.
Do you think if Vince started losing talent to AEW, say they have all this and guys start jumping to
when? Don't you mean when?
Yeah, more of when than if. When guys start jumping to AEW and this is the cherry on the top of those contracts, would that force Vince to start offering that to match the contracts that AEW?
Again, right now he's just doubling the money, you know. He's just gone up to a crazy amount of money. But money isn't everything to these guys, unlike Vince. Like I say, it doesn't matter unless they, I'll repeat, he has to be big enough that the product that he's competing with them has to be big enough to actually be able to draw the eyes away in addition to offering this. That's the only way it works.
I think another thing that was interesting about the piece was, for me, as a wrestling fan, the fact that Oliver said that he was a fan, I don't know why, it made the piece a little bit more relatable to me in some ways, but also I guess, you know, when I see the Piper thing and I saw the Brett thing, I get the out of context. And then I guess as a wrestling fan, the whole piece they did where it was kind of like a monster truck rally promo, I wasn't a huge fan of that, to be honest, just the way that it was done. I thought it was so over the top that I'm like, this is kind of stupid. This is kind of lame. I got the point it was going to, but it was so over the top and it reminded me more of like a Monster Jam than of a wrestling like promo.
To be fair, Oliver's done those bits before. He's done that.
Oh, I know. Brexit, and I haven't liked them before.
And it's part of Oliver's schnick. It's just like the line about Roman, and Roman's hair sure looked different tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of, because I saw a bunch of wrestling fans just clipping that clip and sharing it everywhere and being like, what a horrible person. How dare you say that about a cancer patient or a cancer survivor that you can't compare the two. Like, to me, I understand Oliver's sense of humor, and that's very much a John Oliver joke. Did that joke bug you at all? Did the fact that it was about Roman bug you at all?
Me?
Mo.
Are you kidding me? Look, what I'm sick of right now is pretty much all the social justice warriors that I'm even more sick of, the fake social justice warriors who use it only when it offends them and are turning it around and using it, you know, when it's not genuine because they know now that they give them power. That's what that is. Come on, guys. Just stupid. It didn't bother me.
And my thing with it is, it's more of a sign of sensitive WWE fans going, you can't attack.
Oh, yeah.
It boggles my mind that there are fans out there going, no, John Oliver, you're wrong. WWE's right.
Again, it's like I say, it's fake social justice warriorism. Yeah. It's using it to defend wrestling, not because they're defending the cancer survivor, is because they're just it's not real. So yeah. No, I don't care about those morons.
I would have to agree with that. Anything else, boys, from this?
No, I think all in all, I think having something like this is good. You have to you need to start creating that conversation, and it'll never happen. But there are many reasons why. But if I'd love for the government to take a look at them, because I feel, I don't know, I could be completely wrong here, but I feel if certain branches of the government that deal with labor laws and things of that nature, employees, I feel like if they really took a hard look at this, there would be some more questions for Vince.
Let me put it this way. I'll just give an example. Many years ago, when he was still working for WWE, Lance Storm brought his taxes done by his accountant, and his accountant looked at them and said, what do you mean you're trying to file this as an independent contractor? He literally showed him his contract and said, I am an independent contractor. And the accountant looked at him and said, you won't be in the eyes of the government if we file it like that. I'm filing you as an employee and dead. So this has been long time coming. And
wow.
Also, might have to, let's remember have to who's in the government.
Pardon me?
Because exactly. Let's remember who's in the government.
Might have to start at the state level.
And Linda just changed positions to a more or less higher position to get ready for the Trump election, for the re-election. So I don't think the government necessarily is going to be someone you can really rely on, because he has kind of the president working with him in more ways than one, probably.
Oh, right now, no.
No, but I think just having Trump as an ally in some ways, I don't think Vince is as worried with that. He feels like he'd probably go to that. This is something that has to be changed. I at least have the offseason. And my question to you guys was, if you had the ideal offseason, when do you think it should be and how long do you think it should be for?
Well, you know, I don't believe you have a – personally, I don't believe you have an individual offseason. I just think that the guys should have about 6 weeks a year that they get off. I don't think the idea of a, you know, an actual off season works in wrestling and shouldn't have to, especially when you have a roster this size. Why do you have to have an off season? Just post people in and out.
You can have like a 6 week where you guys are these guys are guaranteed 6 week vacation, and that could be tied in with storylines. You could have guys feuding, and then you say you have AJ feuding with Randy, and Randy beats AJ, and AJ wants revenge, but they're like, no, you have to have your 6 week vacation, and then AJ has to stew for those 6 weeks, and then he comes back, and then you pick that feud back up from there.
And maybe he takes 6 weeks off, maybe it's 3 weeks here, 3 weeks there. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's more than 6 weeks. Maybe it's the point being, though, all I know is when guys are gone and they come back, they're fresher.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't hurt them.
I agree with that to a degree with the six. If I were going to do it, I've seen a lot of talk for Mania. I think right after Survivor Series would be an ideal spot, because then they get the holidays with their families. You get Thanksgiving in the States and you get Christmas time. And then around January, you come back, start building up to the Rumble.
Unfortunately, to do it, you would have to be actually probably – like that wouldn't work because they're a television product. And that period of time – in television it's just not viable to do so.
Well, that's when a lot of shows go off, though, for Christmas break, too, right?
Not for around that long.
Late November.
Not for that long.
They go about 5 weeks. I look at a show like Arrow or The Flash, right, on CW or whatever. They go away mid-November, come back early January.
Okay. One of the big – well, no. A lot of them don't. A lot of them don't. Because the other thing is that the reason why these things go – like that is because they'll take a break is because they have alternative programming that is specifically designed for the holidays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like specials and these different things. I don't, maybe that's possible on Fox, but I don't see how that's possible on USA Network.
Right.
The time I would do it, and I always find that wrestling dips, is I would find a time just like a month before the build to SummerSlam. I'd have a time in the summer, because I always find the summer to be a really slow time for them, and it's always been just kind of like, I don't overly care. I'm going to go out and enjoy the nice weather. I think that might be a good time to just let your guys have more or less a summer vacation and let them, because you look at Sammy right now. Sammy seems so happy just traveling and just going off and doing things. So
when's the time that we have the product has been the worst the last 3 years is shortly after Mania. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's been terrible. So, yeah.
Take off May and June, and possibly throw in July there. Maybe keep July in to have a build, but maybe have like 2 months off in the year. And you could have a dedicated 2 months off, but you could also have it where you have 2 months off, and then you still get like 3 or 4 weeks of vacation in between there. Because the one thing that I've talked with Doug, who I've done a podcast with a couple times on here, one thing that we've talked about is, and just any wrestling fan talking about, is how overexposed these guys are. They need they need time where they feel special again, where you're not always seeing them. And I think having guys have more downtime benefits your product develops bigger draws, because when you see these guys, I feel like they matter more. So I feel like it benefits you to give these guys downtime, because then it means they get to A, heal, and B, you're not being like, oh, well, here comes Aleister Black and Ricochet again, which is how it is now. You see their entrances and you're like, eh, I don't care anymore. I've seen it plenty of times.
No, because they don't book well. It doesn't work very well. But again, I'll maintain no off season, just enough vacation time a year. I mean, I've been an advocate of, even if you're not on off season, that guys like should not be on television, for instance, more than 30 times a year. Like, you know, I think that's the maximum any one character should be on television, 30 times
reasonable.
A year. You know, things like that. And longer, just more vacation time. Like, I have vacation time at work, right?
Yeah.
Right. My last thing is, so let's say that we make them full-time employees, which they more or less are right now, right? They are technically more or less, like, you just saw Kevin Owens and AJ sign new deals, and you've heard the wording full guaranteed contracts, unlike, you know, the NFL, for example, has a certain amount of guarantee, but then there's other money that they have there with bonuses. NBA, NHL, MLB all have this. I mean, look at Bryce Harper's contract, for example. Some of that's guaranteed money. Some he can make in bonuses, and if he makes it in bonuses, he's going to be a super wealthy guy. As for this, so let's say they get those guaranteed contracts and their employees, what are we looking at here that we need to add here? So we're obviously looking at health benefits, right? And then pension. Are we including the hotel pension, which Piper said he had a pension, so I'm like, do they have a pension? I was curious about that. I'll let you answer that one, Mo. Are we having to include on here for their full renter car and for the full hotel?
Well, it's tough. I mean, as far as I know, the wrestlers don't have a pension. I mean, you can set up your own pension plan, right? I mean, I assume that's what he was talking about from
that's
the
probably,
way
okay.
I got it.
Right. Yes.
As far as, yeah, the traveling expenses and traveling, those type of things, there's some sort of per diem for some guys, but even
they get
then,
their flights.
They still have to make the shows. They still have to book these things. The travel a lot
those
of the time.
Those buses. How much gas on those buses?
Well, that's the thing is, if they go to Europe, it's all taken care of. But
yes.
if they have to get from Milwaukee to Cleveland, they have to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty crazy, and that's one of the things that should be taken care of. As I say, we talk about health insurance, and that's not just health insurance, but for them, but that's also for their family. Their kids should be able to get, you know, their teeth done if they need to, that type of thing. I mean, Bret Hart was talking about this 15 years ago, how it was unfair that the janitor who works at Titan Towers, if his kid needs to get his teeth fixed, his kid can. But if a wrestler needs to do it, he has to pay for it himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, that was 15 years ago. Bret Hart wrote about that in the Calgary Sun.
Do you take out of their salary, or like so let's say AJ signed a new deal. I think it's believed to be, what I've heard, like 3-4. Do you take a chunk of that out of the salary and put that towards the benefits? Is that how you would do it?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. It's. I mean, there's a lot of things for it. I mean, obviously, I think it's partially a pension. It's partially, shares in the company. A fair payment off of everything. For instance, the network that nobody's getting paid off of. But
yeah.
There's an awful lot. There's an awful lot that needs to be reviewed here.
And we talk about it, and like Oliver brought up, but they're doing incredible numbers right now. So if you're doing such great numbers, you can afford to cover things for these guys. It's you're no longer we can't do this because
that's complete BS. They have the money to do whatever. But
they have FU money right now. They have FU money.
Yeah, or at least they think they do.
Yeah. Anything else in this piece that we're leaving on? I mean, it was a very interesting piece. Oliver was invited by WWE to go to WrestleMania. Obviously, I cannot see him going there. There'll be a follow-up. Do you see – obviously,
number,
it won't be any...
He records on Sundays.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to bring that up. But do you see – number one, Joel, you're going to have to be our kind of on-site reporter. If there is any signs at Mania for pensions or anything – I think if anything happens, I don't think it'll be as much at WrestleMania as it'll be on Raw the next night, because this
but
is probably the least eventful Raw after ever.
No, the public WWE will pull this stuff. Yeah. That's the one thing John Oliver doesn't get, is that WWE has a voice. They can chant, but when it comes to signs, if they get something on there, it's pulled almost immediately.
They took people's T-shirts away, is what I was about to get to. So
there's no way. Like, he doesn't. That was, again, one thing where he doesn't understand kind of there. They control that product so much. No, yeah. Look, the truth is, when we got to revisit this is in about a month to see if there was any fallout.
I think it's going to be a dead story.
Yeah, I think so, unfortunately. But I do think that this will eventually change. It's just really it's a slow moving, it's a glacier, but it is moving.
I think AEW is the one that has to set it, and then hopefully a domino could fall to an ROH, to Impact, to MLW, and so on and so forth, to the part where people are like, I'm not going to go here. I know you're the worldwide leader, but it doesn't matter because I can go here and I can get my family or myself set up for life with health insurance and all this other things. And if you're the worldwide leader, why aren't you offering that?
Well, that's going to happen anyways because people are out of there. So,
yeah, I think the best part about this is, much like Joel said, like, he has so many casual people coming up to him and mentioning, like, oh, wow, this, this, and this. I think much kind of like the Kenny Omega doc did to a smaller degree with me this week, of people opening up and seeing this great story of Kenny and Kota and this great storytelling that wrestling can do, and be like, oh, wow, wrestling is not just this thing that I thought it was. It's also this art of storytelling that you get from the Kota and the Kenny doc. This piece enlightened people to the other side of the world of professional wrestling, much like this upcoming Viceland one will do as well. Being like, yeah, it's not all sunshines and rainbows, and there is things that need to be fixed. And now that the public has a better perception of that, I think that's going to help going forward.
That Viceland one combined with this could be very interesting. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that'll have more. I think it could have even more impact because it's going on for what, like 6 weeks or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It looks really good. I saw the trailer today. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, I think it'll be excellent. So we'll see. But Viceland isn't the most watched show either. We'll see. Like, it's going to be very. Let's see what happens.
Exactly. Joel, any last thoughts?
No, we're all wrestling fans here at the end of the day, and you know, we watch WWE. I'm going to a WWE event this weekend. I'm going to see two WWE events this weekend, but sitting there seeing it, I'm still going to be I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy those moments. But at the end of the day, I think I would enjoy it a little bit more, probably a lot more, knowing that those guys are well taken care of and they don't have to potentially work into their 40s and 50s and taking bumps and just moving really slow like Angle does. Because I'm not saying Angle has to do it. I think Angle wants to do it, but guys just constantly coming back and being like,
Angle might have to do it, but PCO has to do it.
Yeah.
You know, Angle might want to, PCO has to.
Yeah.
Well, it's also a situation of what's the backup plan. Piper talked about that too. And that's the thing that I mentioned to Joe, like, how many of these guys become trainers at the PC or become agents backstage at Impact or AEW or WWE? Not many. So what's after wrestling is really the key. Not everyone's going to be a successful businessman like Diamond Dallas Page, right? Not everyone's going to have the opportunity to be an actor like The Rock or Edge or Christian. Not everyone's, or Batista. Like, you're not all those opportunities are going to be there. Like, what's happening to the Bob Hollies of the world, right? What's happening to what's happened to the Perry Saturns of the world, right? They're becoming homeless and they're almost dying. Luckily, Perry was able to get through it and there was a GoFundMe to help him, but that shouldn't be the situation to help out a Perry Saturn from almost dying.
No, absolutely not. There should be no point. These guys should not have to go to the fans. Like, that Jake stuff, like, I remember watching that in the Jake and being like, oh, that's really nice that the fans are doing that. And then dawn on to me later, I'm like, why are the fans having to do that? He worked for WWE. Why aren't they taking care of him?
And WWE's counter is, we paid him a lot of money back in the day. It's not our fault he didn't save it. Mm-hmm. Which is, of course, it's complicated. And that does complicate the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, kudos to them for doing the rehab program. And that's a good start, but it needs to be developed better because that was a seed, but they've not allowed that seed to grow any further. And they need to let that seed grow much further.
That and every single thing they do like that is for optics.
PR.
Not because PR. It's PR. It's not because they give a shit.
Yeah.
It's not.
They had to do it after Benoit because Benoit almost crippled the business. I'm surprised that Oliver never talked about any of the the Benoit stuff and everything that kind of went with that.
Do you think that was because he was a fan? He didn't touch on the Benoit stuff?
I don't think it had to be a fan. It's like, you know, the thing about his story, there's so many things you could talk about, but then it opens another, like a bigger wound, like with the Jesse stuff, with, like I told you, with the Jesse stuff with the Union, he could go on this whole thing about how Hogan was a snitch, and that opens up this kind of another like 10-minute, 20-minute story. The Benoit stuff is kind of its own separate story.
Yeah.
And it's been well covered, let's face it.
Yeah. And I think I think at least for all of us as wrestling fans, we're over hearing about Benoit.
Yeah.
So, well, there you go. Check out the John Oliver piece and give us feedback, what you think about it, at the one_fall_pod on Instagram and Stickboy on Twitter. And We Talk Podcast, of course, for all that you need. It's going to be a busy month here on We Talk Podcast. For Mo, Joel, I'm Joshua Adam William Arathon. Until next time, cheers and enjoy the day, people.